Morning. Today's daf in Chulin is Yud Gimel. We're on Yud Beis Amud Beis. We are starting today at the two dots towards the bottom of the Amud. Amrei B'chir Bar Abba. By Rav Yochanan, the Gemara starts off with the question, Kan Yish LaMachshava or In LaMachshava? Does the Kan have Machshava? Or does the Kan not have Machshava? It is a strange question. We can all agree. A Kan doesn't have Das. So what is the Gemara asking? Well, the Gemara asks the question whether or not a Kan has a Machshava or does not have Machshava. So right away, let's jump right to Rashi. Rashi on the Gemara explains, Kigon b'shchitzas kachim, debai kavana. So we know that by kachim, you need kavana. Now this tails off of yesterday's Gemara. Yesterday's Gemara told us that a katan chereshota can check when you have an omid al gabav. You don't need kavana when it comes to shchita, but that shchita is chulun. That's when I'm shechting non-karbanos. But if we're shechting karbanos, so therefore there's a kavana required. It's taught us in the very first sugya of Zvachim, says Rashi. So v'shacha katan ola lishma. Mihavya kavana lam. So can the katan have kavana? Is it at least feasible? Is it possible that the katan should have the requisite kavana when shechting a carbon ola so that it would count as a carbon ola? So that's the Gemara's question according to Rav Yochanan. So Amale Rabbi Ami v'tibay lech maisa. So he says, well, it's interesting. You're asking the question about machshava. Why don't you ask about maisa? So Maisa Lokam Mibaile. Now we're going to explain Maisa in just a moment a lot better. But right now, let's just call it an action. And you'll see in the upcoming Gemara exactly what's meant by Maisa. So the Gemara says, well, if we're talking about a Maisa, so there we know. And you know, says the and you know, Rav Yochanan, where we stand on Maisa. Did not. So it's based on the Mishnah and Kalim. The Mishnah and Kalim. So, I'm sorry. Well, Vitibaile Maisa, Maisa Lokam Mibaile, did not. So you know why you didn't ask the question regarding Maisa, because you know your Mishnah and Kalim. Doesn't mean I know the Mishnah and Kalim, but you. I'm talking about me. But you know the Mishnah and Kalim. The Mishnah and Kalim says Yeshla Maisa so Machshav Namaloti Bayla did none. And as far as Machshav is concerned, that's also Mishnah and Kalim. So once you know Mishnah and Kalim, you know both sides of the question of whether Kan has Machshav or whether Kan has Maisa. So again, now we're going to have a much better understanding of what Machshav and Maisa means in the context of the following Mishnah. So, did not in La Machshava. And as we're going to see in the Mishnah and Kalim in just a moment, there's no Machshava. The Mishnah and Kalim reads as follows, did not. Halon v'rimon v'ago shechakukum tinokos. Lamod behem afar o shehitkinum lechaf maznayim. Tamei mimne sheish la Maisa ve'in la Machshava. So the Mishnah and Kalim over here is talking about a child now who's digging out a fruit. So basically, he gets to work with the shell. What's he going to do with the shell? It's playtime. Playtime for the child. So back in the days where toys were not sophisticated, and, you know, the good old days, if you will. So what served as a nice little toy was basically the shell of a fruit. Now, we know the halacha is that in order for a keli to be mekabel toma, so it has to have a toch, it has to have a receptacle, and you have to fashion it into that item for the purposes of a kli. So in other words, you can't just simply think, hey, I want to use this as a kli. Now, even though as I say that, I know you can. Meaning, if you have a machshava regarding a certain instrument, certain utensil, that even though it is not in its final production state, but nevertheless, as it is right now, I'd like to use it. So there, you could have a machshava. But over here, the Mishnah is describing where the child is taking the shell of a fruit, and he's going to be using it as a kli, so he digs it up, he carves it out, so that it can be used as a fruit, as a kli. So under those circumstances, the Mishnah in Kalim tells us that will in fact be a kli. So let's read the Mishnah again. Halon v'rimon, so different types of fruits, pomegranate, maybe a chestnut, whatever the fruits are. V'ha'ego shechakukum tinokus lamud bem afar. So let's say he digs it out because he wants to use it for dirt. Oh, shitkinum lekaf maznayim. Or he's going to use it as one of the balances for the scale. So tamei mimnei sheish la maisa. So it is now subject to tuma because they have a maisa. Meaning children have a maisa. Even though for an adult all you need is a machshava, and children don't have a machshava, but they do have a maisa. Ve'in la machshava. And then the Mishnah and Kalim, right in the top of Yigim Amud Aleph, says it with absolute clarity. They don't have machshava, but they do have a maisa. And so now in the context of the Mishnah, now we get it. Meaning, where I need where the child can forward his activity as a productive activity in which it will result in a kli, so that's if he makes it. If he physically makes the kli, so now it's going to become a kli status-wise, and is going to be makabel tumah, it's subject to tumah. Masha Enkin, if let's say the child has something which could be used, but not yet, but let's say it could be used, and the child says to himself, well, I'm considering it using for as it is right now, so that's not significant. Take a look at the top Rashi on the next Amud. Top Rashi on the next Amud, Ein la'machshav kagon. Matza klipas egos, kemosha aya, v'chashiv ala lamoda o afilo madad ba. Let's say a child finds out a hollowed out shell. And now the child didn't do anything. And the child says, okay, you know what? Hollowed out shell, perfect. I'm going to use it. And Rashi goes even so far to say, is even if he does use it, it doesn't matter. He didn't do a maisa to make it into a kli. And therefore, now we know that somebody who's an adult with mental faculty, if he comes over and he has a machshava on it, that works. That's the mission. That's also a mission kelim, says Rashi. Kol kelim yardim le'dei tuma b'machshava. So for you and I, we can infuse machshava into a kli, so that now it's going to be a kli, I'll have the status of a kli b'makabel tuma. But for a child, the only way it works is through maisa. Okay, that's the mission kelim. Now let's try to translate that over to our discussion. And translating that over to our discussion is now going to be a little bit tricky. Meaning, you have a child now who is going to be shechting a carbon. Now, shechting chulin, we said, is fine. You need an omid al gabav, but that's fine. Because you don't need kavana when it comes to shechitas chulin. But now we're talking about a child who is going to be shechting a carbon. Now, if all he's doing is just shechting the carbon without infusing any kind of kavana, without any type of intent, so that's not going to be good. That we'll call that machshava. But let's say he shechs the animal and he articulates and he says, this is going to be for the sake of a carbon. So under those circumstances, the Gemara is describing that as maisa. Rashi on the previous Amud says that. That if the child actually articulates while shechting the carbon, they shechting it as for the purpose of a carbon. So it's a shechita with an articulation. We'll call that maisa. Okay. So and so now, what Rabbi Ami is saying to Rabbi Yochanan is, I don't understand your question because don't you know the answer? After having learned the Mishnah Kelim together, we now know that if a child only has a machshava, that's nothing. If a child has a maisa, that's significant. So what are you asking? Amar Lei. So on the top of Yigim Lamed Aleph, this is now the response of Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Lei. Machshava grei dasa lo kami baylei, ki kami baylei machshava nikaris mitok maisav. So he says, I'm in the middle. You're right, I know the extremes. I know machshav, I know maisa. I'm in the middle. What if it's machshav and nikeres mitoch maisav? So let's say I can pretty much telegraph what he is thinking based on his actions. His actions are not super clear, but at the same time, I can pretty much figure out what is going on in his mind. For example, says the Gemara Kagon, Davakaima ola bedarim v'asiyu betzafim v'shachtam. So what happened is that the child is in the Azara, and the animal's in the south side, and the animal's either an Ola or Chatas or Nashem, which needs to be shecht in the north side. He takes the animal, moves it over to the north side, and he shechts it over there. So there are two possibilities. Now, he brought it up north because that is a clear indication that this is a carbon, and he's shechting as a carbon, or maybe no. Maybe there's just simply not enough room in the south side, and he needed another place to shecht, and so he just moved it to the north, and just happenstance, right? Coincidence that he moved it to the north, but it doesn't really reflect his machshava. So Hanami Amar Rabbi Yochanan Chadazima did not. So the Gemara says, interesting, that Rabbi Yochanan is asking such a question. So now we know the question of Rabbi Yochanan is, machshava nikeres mitoch maisav. It is not a blatant machshava, it's not a blatant maisa, it's something in the middle. The Gemara says, I think I know the answer to that as well, based on the Mishnah Machshirin. We know, rule number one, a food is not going to be mekabel tuma until it comes into contact with the seven liquids. Rule number two, the liquids have to come onto the food biratzon. You have to want the food to become wet. If water or any of the other six liquids comes into contact with the food without a ratzon, without you liking it, wanting it, so then the food is not mekabel tuma. It's not mukhshir lekabel tuma. That's rule one and two as it relates to machshirin. You pretty much, after knowing those two rules, right? We can now learn machshirin. We're going to learn one mission together this morning, but germane to our discussion. Right, the expression that you're going to see consistently throughout Machshirin is the expression of ki yutan, because the pasuk says ki yitain, ki yutan. There's a kri, there's a ksiv, so it means that the liquid came on it. That's yutan. That's passive. But it could also be read yitain, which means I want it to go on it. So that's how we know. That's the key word for ratzon, that I want the liquid to go on it. What happened is I took the fruit out of the house and I moved it up to the roof. I moved up to the roof because I wanted it to become wet. No, kinima. There are bugs all over the house right now. I don't want the fruit to get infested with the bugs. So I move the fruit upstairs. I move it and put it on the roof. And there it comes into contact with liquid. That's not kiyutan. However, vein miskaven lekacharein b'kiyutan. So, but if, let's say, my kavana was, you know, it is buggy down here, and I want the fruit to get wet, that was clearly my machshava, so that falls under the category of kiyutan. That's great. That's not the part that we want to see, because we're focusing, our entire discussion is on the status of a machshava of a katan. That's the next part of the Mishnah. Cherishot of a katan afa pishin is kavnu lekach. The Mishnah in Machshirin once again repeats that same phrase that we saw back in the Mishnah in Kalim. And that is when it comes to the child. Even if the child brought up to the rooftop in order so that it becomes wet, but in other words, that falls under the category of Machshava. And the child does not have a Machshava. A child has Maisa, but a child does not have Machshava. V'am Rav Yochanan. Now Rav Yochanan says, now let's be clear about that case in that Mishnah Machshirin. Lo shna shalo, elo shalo hipech bahen. Aval hipech bahen arizeh b'chiyutan. Rav Yochanan, qualifying that Mishnah, says that Mishnah only is relevant in the scenario in which the child brought the fruit upstairs to the rooftop and left it there. But if the child brought the fruit up to the rooftop, and not only that, but flipped it over, so that both sides of the fruit now get wet with the rain or the dew. So that is a clear indication that the child wants it. And it's an indication with a maisa. So what do we have over here? We have machshava nikeres mitoch maisa. Based on his action, we now know what his machshava is. He didn't physically change the fruit, but he manipulated the fruit so that we now know what he wants. So this is an example of machshava nikeres mitoch maisa. So once again, I have Rav Yochanan qualifying the Mishnah Machshirin. I think I know the answer. The answer is Rav Yochanan holds that Machshava Nikaris Mitoch Maisav. That's a thing. So the Gemara says, Hachi Kami Baile, Da'araisa Da'rabanan. So the Gemara says, yes, I understand that. That according to Rav Yochanan, Machshava Nikaris Mitoch Maisav. Now the way the Gemara phrases it is that a Din Da'araisa is that a Din Da'rabanan. It's a strange way to phrase it, in that we are talking about Dine Da'araisa. We're talking about whether or not a fruit is mekabel tumah or not mekabel tumah, the way Rashi understands it over here, when the Gemara says d'oraisa d'rabbanan, meaning are we saying it only on the side of being machmir, that would be d'rabbanan, or we would say it as a chomer and as a kula, or as a kula. That would be d'oraisa. How definitively does Rav Yochanan know that machshava nikeres mitoch maisav? The Mishnah Machshirin just tells us that we're going to be machmir. Okay, we'll be machmir. But does that also mean that even if it results in a kula, if the machshava nikeres mitoch maisav is going to result in a kula, is that going to work as well? Our question that we start off the morning with was kachim, karbanos. If the child shechs a karban and he doesn't, and what was the example? He took the animal, he moved it from the south side to the north side of the azara. So that's machshava nikeres mitoch maisav. But if we said that would result in a kula, meaning we would okay the karban, we would approve the karban. So the Gemara says that's what Rav Yochanan wanted to know, whether or not Machshav Nikeres Mitoch Maisav just works as a Chomra, or would even work as a Kula as well. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Masni Hachi. Now Rav Nachman Yitzchak has the same discussion that we just had in a slightly different format. I'm Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba by Rav Yochanan Katan Yesh La Maisa O Ein La Maisa. So here in the original presentation of Rav Yochanan's question, the question starts off with, does the child have Maisa or not? Amalei Rabbi Amiviti Balach Machshava Maishna Machshava Delo Kami Baile Denan Yishla Machshava Maisa Nami Loti Baile Denan Yishla Maisa. So, and again, in the second version now, Rabbi Ami's response to Rabbi Yochanan is the same as we saw in the first version, which is Rabbi Ami says to Rabbi Yochanan, you know the Mishnah in Kalim. The Mishnah in Kalim says that a child has Maisa and a child does not have Machshava. So I don't understand what you're asking. So So what Rav Yochanan's response is, does that work on a Daraisa level? Does it work only on a Darabanan level? Again, same way we explained it earlier. Daraisa means I definitively know. Darabanan means I'm not sure when we're going to be machmir. Upashi yesh la maisa ve'afilu medaraisa. Ein la machshava ve'afilu medarabanan. And as far as once the question is asked, the answer is a child has a maisa. So again, that Mishnah and Kalim is the greatest starting point for this discussion. Meaning when he actually makes a physical change in an item, that's maisa. We know definitively a child has maisa, bein lechum or bein lekula. We know that if it's just machshava by itself, a child definitively does not have machshava, bein lekula, bein lechumra. And machshava, so nikaris mitok maisa, medaraisa, in, ein lo, midarabanan yesh lo. And then the middle category, where the child does not make a physical change in the item, he simply manipulates the item, but from the manipulation, we can now pretty much guess what the child is thinking, and is that going to be considered now significant or not? And midaraisa, yes, midarabanan lo, no. And I'll do that again, I'll do it better. Midaraisa, no, midarabanan, yes. Meaning, again, I'll say like Rashi, meaning that to be machmir, we're going to say yes. But to be maker, we're going to say no. Okay, adkan. And bringing us now to the end of the Gemara's discussion, whether or not a child can infuse any kind of kavana, and the answer is that if there was a maisa that he did, which physically changed the item, the answer is yes. If it was just machshava by itself, the answer is no. And then machshava nikaris mitoch maisa, a manipulation of the item, unclear. We're not sure. And therefore we'll be machmir, but we're not going to be mako. And the Gemara now reviews with us something that we learned together about 2 weeks ago. We learned it back in Zvachim. We learned it in Menachos. We're learning it now in Chulin. We're going to go three mesechtos in a row where we're learning the halacha. How do I know that mindless activity regarding a carbon is going to disqualify the carbon? Meaning you cannot mindlessly shecht. Now, what exactly does that mean, mindless shechting? Stay tuned. I'm going to go through Rashi in just a moment. That when you're shechting it, you should be thinking to yourself, "This, I'm shechting a carbon." So, Amar lo zubi adenu. So Rav Yochanan says, "I'm sorry, I was in the previous sugya." So Shmuel was asking for Rav Huna. So Shmuel says to Rav Huna, "Zubi ade, av zubi adenu." I knew that. Thank you very much. But he laakev. I'm sorry, zubi adenu he laakev minayin. You misunderstood. My question is, I know that lechatchila you should have a machshava. You should be a mindful act when shechting the carbon. What I'm asking is, how do I know it's le'ikuva? It will disqualify the carbon. So the Gemara to that, the Gemara's answer is l'ritzon chen tizbechuhu l'da'atchem zivuchu. We have a repetition of the pasuk. Shina alav akasav la'akiv, Rashi says over here. Right, we just did it 2 weeks ago, so I have a good memory of that. The Rashi back at the end of Menachos, same exact lashon. Meaning that when the Torah repeats instructions by Karbanos, so that means it's li'ikuva, that means that it's essential. Okay, so therefore, the Gemara ends off that with a Karban, it has to be shechted lishma. What exactly does it mean, lishma? So Rashi over here, Rashi writes, minayin lemesasi b'kashin shu pasul. Rashi now, the first really long line, klamar. Minayin lemesasi shu pasul b'kashin kigon. Misasik b'sakin lahagbio or lezorko. So basically the way Rashi describes a mindless activity, you're playing with the knife. You're picking it up. You're throwing it. Now, mind you, by the way, you're in the Azara. It's a strange place. It's a strange place to play with a knife. But you're playing with the knife, says Rashi. Vishacha bekashim. And while you're playing with a knife, lo and behold, wow, there was an animal there, and you shechted it as a carbon. Shalon is carbon l'shum shechita. You had no shechita in mind. Aval niskavim l'shum shechita ba'ama kasher. Elo shalo ala lebalim l'shem chova. But if you had in mind at least shechting, even though you didn't have the carbon per se in mind, so Rashi says that is now moves us past the point beyond mindless. That's mindful. It's a really low threshold of mindful, by the way. Meaning I just have to have in my mind that I'm shechting an animal. Whether it's a carbon, what type of carbon it is. Now I'm gonna take us all the way back to Zvachim, right? Daf Mem Vav, where the Gemara over there says that there are six kavanas that you need when you're shechting an animal. But that's good. Those are all hidurim. Maybe more than a hidur. Meaning, but in other words, good. But we're at the other end of the spectrum of what's going to disqualify the carbon if I do it mindlessly. So Rashi sets the threshold really low. Meaning the only thing I have to have in mind is that, I'm shechting an animal. That's it. If I'm throwing a knife, if I'm, picking it up with, I've just picked it up. And then lo and behold, there was an animal right there. Okay. So anyway, so that's Rashi. I'm not going to go through it right now, but I encourage you, take a look at Tosfos, Minayin LeMisasek, Tosfos notes how low Rashi set the bar in terms of what is considered a mindless act of Shechita. Tosfos does not appreciate having it set so low. See Tosfos, who where he does not like where Rashi set the bar of a mindless action.
Sugar,
yeah.
If the child can do Maisa, why can't he do a Kinyan?
That's a wonderful question. Danny's asking if Maisa works, so why not why don't Kinyanim work?
It's also,
no? Well, yeah. You need Kavana when it comes to Kinyan. It's an excellent question. I mean, Kinyan, you're moving an item from one person's domain to another person's domain. I don't have a source for your to answer your question. I mean, your question's excellent. I don't have a source offhand. I can make an argument in terms of seeing a difference between them, but left to my own devices, though, I can make an argument the other way as well. Okay, your question's excellent. If I have a non-Jew shechting, so and he does everything correctly, no shihia, no hadrasa, no chalada, no hagrama, no ikur, right? He navigated through all five psule shechita. He did a wonderful job. And the animal is not shechted. Physically, the animal shechted, but halachically, the animal is a zero. It's as if the animal just simply died with nothing. And so therefore, what's the result of that? So the animal's a nevela. And says the Mishnah, matame b'masa. Now that extra line of the Mishnah, matame b'masa, seems to be superfluous. Because that's the result of an animal being a nevela. When an animal's a nevela, meaning died without the benefit of a shechita, so the animal is going to give off tumas masa. The Gemara is going to note the superfluous nature of those last two words of the Mishnah. But in the meantime, however, a goy shechting is no good. Interesting, by the way, we're going to be learning over an amud of Gemara on this topic, and we're never going to see the reason why, at least in the Gemara, I should say. The Gemara itself never explains why it is that a goy cannot shecht. Now, remind you, when I say cannot, what I mean by that is cannot in the context of it has no effectiveness whatsoever. It's ki'ilu, the guy did nothing in the act of shechita. So why is it that a guy can't shecht? So the Rush in the back over here, he quotes his own opinion, he quotes the Rambam's opinion. So if I can find it within the next moment, fine. Otherwise, I'll simply say it outside.
Like,
no, I'm gonna give you sources. Okay, I'll say it outside. Okay, the Rush quotes two opinions. One is his own, and the other is the Rambam. We'll start with the Rambam. The Rambam says that a goy cannot shech because of a pasuk in the Torah. So, but the Rambam quotes a different source, and that is that the Torah says that if a goy were to shecht, you know what step two, number two is going to be? Step number two is that he's going to invite you to come and eat with him. And it's almost like a siyag min haTorah. It's almost like the Torah is creating its own fence, in which the Torah is basically saying that if you're going to eat the shechita tagai, then you're right. It's almost like bishul akum. If you're going to eat from it, so then the next step is that you're going to participate with him. You're going to eat with him, v'chule v'chule. And so the Rambam describes it almost like a siyag min haTorah. Good. The Rush says no, that's not it. The Rush says that it has nothing to do with the siyag min haTorah. The Rush says it's very simple. It has to do with the fact that there is no halachas of kashrus when it comes to goy. Yeah. Now, yes, it's true. There's something called Avram and Achai, but that's it. Meaning, there's no nevela, there's no trefa. Meaning, these are halachas that simply don't pertain to him. He's not a bar hachi. He's not somebody who's in the parsha of kashrus, of nevela and trefa. And so, if he's not a bar hachi, so he's also not included in the mitzvah of shechita. Okay. So those are the two opinions amongst the Rishonim. Okay, good.
You were shechting.
Fine.
And then
fine.
You were leading, not
fine.
Else.
Okay. I hear that, but that's that. Those are the opinions of the Rush and the Rambam. So the Mishnah says that a goy can't shecht. Now, Gemara right away notes nevela in isar hanalo. So what just happened over here? We had a guy shecht, and what did the Mishnah say? The animal's a nevela. The Mishnah could have done one better. The Mishnah could have said that not only is the animal a nevela, meaning the absence of a shechita, but we could have gone also one step further. You know what the animal could have been? The animal could have also been tekrovas avodah zarah, meaning he is a guy who did shecht an animal, so maybe he did it for the purpose of avodah zarah. Now, if he did, what does that mean regarding the animal? The animal now is not only a nevela, it's aser behana, as takrovas avodah zarah. So it's interesting that the Mishnah didn't say that. So the Gemara now comments on that. So Mantana am Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Abba am Rav Yochanan, Deloka Rabbi Eliezer. So I'll tell you who the Mishnah's not. The Mishnah's not like Rabbi Eliezer. De'i Rabbi Eliezer, Amar Stamach Shavo Vekochavim La'avodas Kochavim. Rabbi Eliezer's of the opinion that a guy is always thinking about his avodah zarah. Every action that he does is infused with his idolatrous intent and practices. So when a guy stam shechs an animal, it's not stam shechs an animal. A guy is thinking about his avodah zarah, and that means that that animal now is takrovas avodah zarah, aser b'achila for sure, but also aser b'ana. Now our Mishnah says that the animal is only a nevela, so that means that our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Eliezer. Good. Rabbi Ami Amar Hachi Ketan, and Rabbi Ami says as follows. Now Rashi over here writes that Rabbi Ami is not arguing with Rabbi Chiya. He's not, generally speaking, when you see this construct of Gemara, Rabbi Chiya says one thing, Rabbi Ami says another, they're at odds with one another. Rashi says that's not the case over here. He's just going to tease out another point from the Mishnah. So Rabbi Ami Amar Hachi Ketan, Shchita Tove Kochav Nevela. So the Shchita of a guy is a Nevela, meaning like we learned in our Mishnah. But what's the foil? What's the contrasting point? Hadimin la'avodas kochavim. But if it's, let's say, a min, so then that is something which is we're going to presume is going to be shechter for the purpose of avodah zarah. Now, when we say a min, who are we talking about? Rashi on the bottom of the Amud writes, Rashi is three lines from the bottom. Shechitas min, de Yisrael. We're talking about a Jew who went way off the derech. He's so far off the derech right now that he is a priest for idolatry. So, v'kol shekein do v'kol chavim. Now, the truth of the matter, says Rashi, is that, yes, it's true that when we talk about a min, we're generally talking about a Jew who has now went to the other team and is now a serving as a priest on the for the Avodah Zarah. V'ha mastis, but Rashi says the same thing would be true if a guy was a priest as well. V'ha mastis en mia b'yisrael kaima medekamer perusav tovlim uvenav mamzerim. It just happens to be that the brisa that we're about to quote is talking about a Jew, so that's why Rashi says, I'm going to interpret it right now as a Jew, but it doesn't have to be a min Yisrael. It could also be a min of a kochavim. The point is as follows. Rabbi Ami is just simply saying that, I agree with what Rabbi Chiya says, but I'll just go one step further. If it's tamagoy shechting, so our Mishnah holds that the animal's a nevela. It's not takrovas avodah zarah. But once he's taken a position in the idolatrous practice, so he's a priest now, Jew or non-Jew, doesn't matter. So then we assume that the purpose of the shechita was for avodah zarah, and so therefore the animal would be aser b'ana. How do I know that? Tanin lahadatan rabbanan. We have a brisa that supports this as well. Shechitas min la avodas kochavim. So if I have a min who's shechting, so it is assumed to be for the purposes of avodah zarah, and that means that the animal now is takrovas avodah zarah. It's aser b'ana. Piso paskusi, and such a min. Now again, Rashi says over here this brisa is talking about a Jew, a Jewish min. And you'll see why it's mukhrech like we're saying that. Piso paskusi, as far as this bread is concerned, we're going to treat the bread as if it was baked by kusi. Now, it's interesting. Remember, this is a brisa. A kusi has been debated throughout Shas. We, in fact, spent a good amount of time in the beginning of this mesechta, daf hei, daf av, discussing the status of a kusi. Eventually, after the generation of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, the next generation basically put the kibosh on the kusi. Kusi is not a Jew, they concluded. But prior to that point in time, the Kusi was, according to most opinions, a Jew with a good conversion. Over here, however, if a Kusi bakes bread, we're not allowed to eat the bread of a Kusi. You could see the bottom toasters over here, he quotes from an interesting source, Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, where they describe over there, you see the bottom toasters, I'm not going to go through it inside, but you can see the toasters over there where they describe how strong a ban they made against bread that was made by a kusi, even during a time where they accepted them, but it was an ambiguous acceptance. It was, yes, they are Jewish, but we really don't want anything to do with them. Okay. Anyway, I know. It's a.
Yeah.
I know. It's strong. I know. I have it underlined. Right. It's very strong. So the. So shchitas min lavoros kocham pisa. Sorry. So pisa paskusi. So for our min now. So our Jewish idolatrous priest. It's a funny sentence, but that's what we're talking about. So if he bakes bread, we're going to treat the bread like the bread of a kusi. Yeno yai nesach. Any wine they touch, we're going to assume was used for the idolatrous practice. That's yai nesach. Aser be'achila uvehana'a. Sfarav sifrei kosmim. As far as any books they publish, they produce. So we're going to treat it like sifrei kosmim. Right? Magic book, right? Whatever, a book that we have nothing to do with. Peiros of tvalim, any fruit that comes from them is tevel, meaning we assume trumas and mitzvahs were not taken off. The yesh omrim af banav mamzerim. Now, in another opinion, at the end of the brisa, the children are mamzerim. Children are mamzerim because, according to this opinion in the brisa, they really have no moralities whatsoever. As far as their wives are concerned, their wives go out and have relations with other men, the children are mamzerim. V'tanakam, and by the way, that's clear evidence that we're talking about a Jew. Because by a non-Jew, it's not shaykh to talk about mamzer. So we're talking about a Jew over here. Now, v'tanakam, now as far as the Tanakam is concerned, right, everything on the list, obviously the Tanakam subscribes to. The shechita is for avodah zarah, the bread is no good, the wine's no good, their sfarim are no good, their fruit are no good. But as far as the children are concerned, the Tanakama does not agree that the children are mamzerim. Tanakama ishta lo mafker, because the Tanakama is of the opinion that in the regard to their wives, they do not let their wives live a free they don't have a free relationship.
That mean is a morer, meaning like knows, but he does it.
Correct.
It's a mezid.
Correct. So the Gemara now goes back and says that if a non-Jew were to shecht the animals in the nevela, wonders the Gemara, why aren't we concerned that maybe he's a min? Meaning, because as we clearly now have just established, right, we saw it said over by Rabbi Ami, we saw it now in the Braisa, that if a min shecht, so we know now that it's a shechitas takrovas avodah zarah, and therefore should be aser ba'ana. So the Gemara says, so I'm curious, so let's at least be concerned that the guy's a min. So the Gemara says, Amar of Nachman, Amar Rava Baravu, Aiminim Bo'umas of Dikochavim. So the Gemara says, they don't have priests. To which the Gemara says, really? They don't? But they do. So, Vahaka Chazina Di'ika. So they do have priests. So the Gemara says, Ema in Rov of Dikochavim Minim. So, okay, that's true, but that's not the Rov. That's not the majority. The majority of the Gaim are not priests. Majority of the Gaim are just living their lives, not with any religious meaning. In this case, religious meaning, by the way, Lara, not Latova, but still, most of them are living a non-religious life, and so therefore, the vast majority of them, don't worry, that's Takrovis of Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara continues, Savra la ki hada am Rabbi Chiya bar Abba am Rabbi Yochanan, Nachum shebechutz aretz, sorry, v'haka chazin, di'ika ema in rovov dekochav minim. Savra la, okay, good, I'm sorry, I was right. Several like Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Chiya, Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Nachman, Shabbuchutz Aretz, Lav of the Avodas Kochavim Hain. Elaminag Avastan Biyadehan. And the Gemara says, and look, even the ones that are quote unquote religious, meaning they're just keeping up tradition. They don't really believe in the idolatry. They're just doing so because their fathers, their grandfathers. In other words, this is part of our family tradition. But no real belief in the Avodah Zarah. Amar Rav Yosef Bar Minyum, Amar Rav Nachman, Ein Minim Be'umos Ovdi Kochavim. So a statement said over in the name of Rav Nachman, very similar to what we just described, that there's no real Minim as it relates to Ovdi Kochavim. Meaning that, you know, someone calls himself a priest of idolatry, he's not really a priest of idolatry. Now, Lamai. Now, Lagabe, what halacha are we talking about? Ilem L'shchita, Hasha Shchita, Mindi Yisrael, Amar Dasira, Dov Kochavim, Mibai, now can't be. Because as we have just concluded in the bottom of the previous Zamud, in the top of this morning Zamud, so we said that if he's a Min Yisrael, so he said everything's wrong about a Shechita. It's Takrovas of Avodah Zarah. That's true if it's a Jewish Min. If it's a non-Jewish Min, of course it's Takrovas of Avodah Zarah. That can't be what you meant. So Elala Moridim, what about the Halacha of Moridim? So we know, we learned back in Avodah Zarah, that if you have a Min, so he's not just an Ovdi Avodah Zarah, but he's a leader of the Ovdi Avodah Zarah. So given the opportunity, so we could discard such an individual, right? I'm being gentle in the way I'm describing it. So we could discard of such an individual. So the Gemara says, Hashad Yisrael Marid and Dovdi Kochav Mibaye. So the Gemara says, okay, we could do this with a Jewish man. We could for sure do this for a non-Jewish man as well. Again, that can't be what we're talking about. Amar Avukva Barcham Al Kabba Mehem Karban. The Gemara says, maybe we're talking about the acceptance of a Karban. Meaning if for whatever reason he decides, even though, keep in mind, we're talking about a non-Jewish man, but if he decides that he wants to extend a Karban over to the base of the Mikdash, we accept it. Now, how do we know we accept it? D'tanya. Because of a Braisa. And once again, we saw this earlier. Mikem v'lo kuchem lo tzias amomar. Mikem b'chem chalaktiv lo v'lo v'tir kuchavim. So we know the halacha goes like this. When a Jew brings a karban, so actually he has to be given a very basic test of ikare yahadus. Are you a mamin? Do you believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Do you believe in the oneness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Basic religious questions, theological questions. That's if a Jew is bringing a karban. What if it's a non-Jew bringing a karban? We just take it. Just take it. There's no need to make any kind of distinctions between what his emunah is. So the Gemara says, so that's what Rav Nachman said when the Rav Nachman said that there's no min by ovdei kochavim. Meaning, legabe this particular halacha, legabe shechita, we know what the halacha is. It's no good. Legabe moridin, the halacha is the same, moridin. But legabe the halacha of accepting a karban, accept even his karban. Now the Gemara for a moment is just going to try to challenge that. Mimai dilma hachi kamar miYisrael. Dilma hachi kamar miYisrael mitzadike kebel mirishio lo sekabel. Maybe the halacha actually goes like this. When it comes to a Jew, so for a tzaddik, and here, by the way, tzaddik just simply means he has emunah, he believes in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, like basics. So when it comes to Yisrael, so accept the karban of a tzaddik, but not from a Rasha. But when it comes to a guy, don't accept karbanos at all. Maybe that's what it means. To which the Gemara says that's not tenable. Lo sakadacha detanya ish matam alamer ish ish l'rabbas of the kochavim shenodrim nedarim nedavos ki Yisrael. We know the baseline halacha is that we accept nedarim from a guy in terms of their ability to offer a animal on our mizbeach. That is a given. Now that's a given, so therefore the only distinction to be made regarding somebody who has a muna, someone who does not have a muna, that's only for the Jew. But for the guy, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what his belief system is, we always accept a karban from a guy. Adkan. Metame b'masa, we are finishing up. Amar Rava Hachikatani, zu metame b'masa v'yesh lecha acheres, shi metame afila ba'oel. Now, as far as the Mishnah is concerned, we said that if a guy shechts an animal, the animal is not shechted. And therefore, as a result of that, the animal is a nevela. Now, there would be something similar to that, where the animal would actually be not only tumas masa, but even one step above, and that would be Tumas Ohel. If, let's say, the animal was in fact shechted for idolatrous purposes, the animal is not only Tame Bemasa, but all the way up to the top of the chain of Tuma, it's Tumas Ohel. And it would go like Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, as we will learn momentarily. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra is of the opinion that Takrovus Avodazara is Tame Beohel. It's like a mace. Now, Ikedarmi, now another version is Amar Rava Hakitan Zumatame Bamasa Vishlacha Cheres, Shika Zushimatame Bamasa Veinamatame Bao Vezuzu, Zutukurvas Avodkochavim Udulokur of Yudab Mesera. In this version, so it is the same point but inverted, meaning that our Mishnah is telling us that when a guy shechs an animal, the animal is a nevela Matame Bemasa and always only going to be Matame Bemasa and never move up to Tumas Ohel. And it's because our Mishnah does not subscribe to Rav Yehuda ben Becerra. And as long as we brought him up, so what is his position, D'tanya? Rav Yehuda ben Becerra, Omer, Minan Takorvus Avodas Kochavim, Shimetame Be'ohel. If I have an animal that was shechta for Avodah Zarah, it is Tumas Ohel. Shenemar V'yitzmedula Ba'apor V'yochlu Zivchei Meisim. It's the Pasuk in Tehillim, describing the actions of the generation of the Midbar by the incident of Pinchas. So they said, "Vayitzmedu lebal paor, vayochlu zivchei mesim." So you see, the avodah zara is connected to mace. So is the opinion of Rav Yehuda ben Becerra. So that means that either our Mishnah, you could read our Mishnah either way. Right? The Gemara gave us both options. You could read our Mishnah as a nod that agrees with Rav Yehuda ben Becerra, or no. Our Mishnah could be read that when a guy shechs an animal, even if it's for Avodah Zarah, the highest tumah that's going to reach is tumas masa, and our Mishnah does not agree with Rav Yehuda ben Becerra. And finally,
what's the difference between min and mumar?
Ask me after. I'll give you some basics after. Okay, so hashochei balayla vechein asuma sheshachet shechitas ukshera. Yeshech the night, or if you're blind and yeshech, the shechita would be good. Now we are already trained very well in this masechta that when you see the word shechitas ukshera, so we know what that means. It means bidyevin, not lechatchila. So what it sounds like from our Mishnah is that shechting at night is not lechatchila, but only bidyevin, as is with a blind person. Him shechting should only be bidyevin, not lechatchila. By a blind person, makes perfect sense, meaning his inability to see is going to obviously pose a risk that he's not going to be shechting in the right place. Now, it could be that he did a good job. In fact, we'll just simply look afterwards, and we'll see that he did a good job, but not lechatchila. But nighttime, there is something called light. In other words, we can provide light at night. So, in other words, why is it that the night got put together with the Summa? So the Gemara now comments on that. Hashochei di'evid lechatchila lo reminu. La'olam shochtim bein ba'yom bein ba'layla. Bein b'rosh agag bein b'rosh asfina. So, and meanwhile, we're going to be seeing a b'raisa, a tosefta. We'll see this, the Gemara is going to quote it later in the Masechta as well, a couple days from now. That you could shecht, whether it's daytime, whether it's nighttime, and it's lechatchila. And you could also shecht on the boat, and on the roof, and rosh asfina, and also on the boat as well. I'm not going to go through right now what the chiddush is regarding the rooftop and the boat. It'll take a while for me to explain. Rashi actually goes through it right now, but I know it's coming up later. We'll do this. I'll explain that point better later in the Masechta. But for now, right now, the point that we're going to focus on, which is really the focus of the Gemara, is shechting at night. So I'm confused. Our Mishnah says that shechting at night is only a bidyevin. Meanwhile, the Braisa says that shechting at night is a lechatchila. How does that work? The answer is obvious. Amar Papa b'sha'avuka kenegdo. The answer is where you provided light at night. In other words, you have a torch. The torch is now providing light at night. So then it's no longer a bidyevin. Now it becomes a lechatchila. Amar Avashi dekanami diktani asam dumi diyom v'acha dumi desuma shmami na. And the Gemara says, and yes, of course, that's the right way to understand it. In fact, if you look at our Mishnah, it reads into the Mishnah beautifully because the Mishnah lumps together shechting at night with a suma. What would be the commonality of the two? Only when there's no light. If there's no suma, has no light. At nighttime, dumya de suma, meaning that there's no light. But if you provide light at night, so then obviously it would be good, even lechatchila. Good. That is a way to resolve the Mishnah and the Braisa.